thinking a little bit this week about the summer of, well, the year of from July 1999 to July 2000. It was in June of 1999 that Laird Crump, who had been the pastor here for about 7 years, left Bridletown in order to begin the work in Markham that's become Rouge River Community Church. And at that time, I was also entering into my last year of seminary at Tyndale. I'd gone into seminary not sure that I wanted to be a pastor. I knew that I didn't want to be a banker. That was the one thing I knew for sure, and I was leaving banking at Royal Trust in order to enter seminary, and I decided in taking that step to, the way I would call it is I hedged my bets. I took a path that allowed me different options, and I decided to enroll in a Master's of Divinity program with an emphasis on counseling, and to take as many pastoral kinds of courses as electives, so that if I wanted to go into the field of counseling and maybe take that path, it would be open to me. And if God wanted me to work in local church work as a pastor, that also could be an option. But so I was 2 years into that program and still not sure what God had for me. And Bridletown found itself in July of 1999 without a pastor. And I think pretty much everybody, or the only thing that folks knew, the few of us at Bridletown at that time knew, was that I was a seminary student. And they didn't realize that I wasn't taking courses in preaching, that I wasn't taking any kind of preparation of that kind like I would be if I was in the pastoral program. And they said, "Trevor, you're a seminary. Why don't you preach? You know, you could sort of help us out here." And so I did so. And over the course of that year, entered into a time of prayer and a time of reflection, a lot of conversation about could it be that God was calling us as a family to engage here at Bridletown and to become the pastor here. And I have to tell you that at first, I think most of my thoughts were, no, I don't think so. I don't think that that would be the right thing for me to do. One of the things that I was very aware of at that time, and it's interesting, we still, I think, feel this way even now, was that I felt like Bridletown was so small and that we were so vulnerable. And I thought to myself, golly, I'm not sure that I have the gifts and abilities to change anything about that. And I was very fearful that I would become the pastor of a church for about, you know, 6 months or so, and that things might just sort of trail off. And what if a few more people left, or a little bit more financial challenge came along? What if the church didn't survive? What kind of a start in ministry would that be for me? You know, the first thing I did was, you know, bury a church. So I didn't really want to do that. And I had always thought it would be nice to work in a church where I could, you know, have a senior pastor, and I would learn a lot from that person. And he would say, you know, when I do a funeral, this is how I do it. And when I, you know, this kind of thing. And I wouldn't have that opportunity at Bridletown because the congregation was very small at that time. I guess another factor for us was that we were a young family, and our kids had become pretty much the only ones in their age group, particularly, you know, Taylor, Ann, and Mackenzie. They were kind of the Sunday school at that time for a little while. And we thought, oh, golly, you know, wouldn't it be nice to go to a church where there were a lot, you know, lots of kids that they could get to know and that sort of thing. So I spent a lot of time kind of thinking, I don't think so. I don't think this is right for me. And I kind of found myself a lot maybe arguing with God about that and thinking about other possibilities. And I repeatedly was expressing to God that I felt, you know, we're just so small and we're so weak. And God, communicated with me during that year in a way that is quite memorable. And I think sometimes we're able to identify that it was God speaking to us more when we look back and say, oh, you know, that's really proven to be true. And I believe God was saying to me over that year, Trevor, Bridletown is not the church in this neighborhood. It's only a part of the church in this neighborhood. Sure, you're few in number, but look around. Look at SIM's head office is just over there, and First Alliance is right on the other corner, and Bridalwood Presbyterian and Good Shepherd Community Church. And as you drive around this neighborhood, I saw lots of buildings of congregations, and I began to think, well, maybe Bridletown is not the church in this community, just a part of the church in this community. And I began to feel a real sense of focus on particularly this neighborhood, that Bridletown was called in a very particular way to this community. And equally, that we were called to collaboration, that we were called to focus on working with others and not independently. And that was an easy decision for us to make at the time, because we didn't have a lot of horsepower to do anything on our own. And so we began to look out for and reach out for partners. The New Testament is actually very concerned for Christians working together in unity. It's a theme that comes up over and over and over and over again in the New Testament. One place, if you have a Bible, you may want to turn to is Philippians chapter 2. If you want to be encouraged to partner with other Christians, then just read the New Testament, because it comes up over and over and over again that God wants His people to work together. If you want to live a life of independence where you don't work with anyone else, then probably avoid reading the Bible, because it'll make you feel bad about trying to do things all on your own. Here's Paul writing to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 2. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if it means anything to you that you're united with God through Christ personally, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, again, that what we might call that vertical relationship with God, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. If God's doing something with you on the vertical side so that you're enjoying a relationship with Him and the work of the Holy Spirit, then be like-minded, sort of horizontally. Work on your relationships with each other, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And when Paul speaks about purpose, I think we get the idea there of partnership, working together for a common goal. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And I've often commented that I wish He said something a little different there, that if He had just asked us to consider people almost as good as ourselves, or at least as good as ourselves, that would have been easier. But Paul says, consider others better than yourselves. For each of you should look not only to your own interests, don't live life just independently, but also to the interests of others. Join together with others. And Paul defends this on the basis of what we're remembering here this morning. He calls the church, and he calls us this morning, if we're followers of Jesus, to live in that kind of humble unity of purpose and spirit on the basis of what Jesus has done at the cross. In verse 5 of Philippians 2, he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul knew that as he called the Christians in Philippi, and as God's word calls us today to live in unity with one another, in a unity of purpose and spirit, that with that is a call to humility, right? Pride is often what's going to keep us from working well together. And Paul knows that a call to unity, to collaboration, to partnership is an assault against pride. And so he says, as you move towards unity of purpose and unity of spirit, remember that Jesus, your Lord and Savior, has given you the example of humility, that he did not consider his status, his equal status with God, that in very nature he is the eternal Son of God, but he let go of all the privilege that comes and that is rightfully due him for his nature as God the Son, and became a man, further humbling himself to death, even death on the cross. We're called into unity of spirit and purpose with humility because Jesus' example shows us that humility and preference for others is required of us. If we say that we are followers of Jesus and don't put the needs of others ahead of our own needs, then we're really not being true to the very way in which Jesus has become our Lord and Savior. He put our needs, even as rebels and sinners, ahead of his own, willingly loosening his grasp on all the status and privilege of his position as the eternal Son of God in order to serve us. And there's more than just Jesus' example to motivate us when we think about living in unity and purpose, because there is also Jesus' command. Paul wasn't the first one to think, oh, Jesus set us an example of humility and putting the needs of others first, so then those who are his followers should do the same, because Jesus himself, during his teaching ministry, had very specifically commanded that those who would be his followers would live in unity. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Now at this time, the disciples really didn't even have the full extent that Paul has in Philippians when they hear Jesus say, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." But we can look back on the cross and see this example of sacrifice and hear the words of Christ, which are, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another," sacrificially, with humility, not holding on to your rights and entitlements, but loosening them so that the needs of others can be met. And then he goes on to say something that is very profound in verse 35 of John 13. "By this, if you love one another, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus says the primary mark of Christian discipleship ought to be that those who follow Jesus love one another, that they act in humility towards each other, that they do not seek their individual status and entitlement, but let go of such things in order that they can join together in unity of spirit and purpose so that Jesus receives all the glory. In John chapter 17, we know that Jesus not only commanded that we love one another so that people will know that we are his disciples, but he also prayed that we would be unified in order that his status as Lord would be made evident. in John 17, verse 20, Jesus says, praying to the Father, my prayer is not for my disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Jesus prays that the actual mission purpose of God, that the world would know that Jesus has come as God's Messiah, as God's Savior of all humanity from sin, will be advanced as the church enters into unity. So it's probably not surprising that when I was struggling with God over the decision to become the pastor here at Brattletown, that he focused me on two things that we know are very close to the heart of Jesus. One is the mission of God in the world, that Jesus came as the one sent from the Father, and that he sends those who have come to him into the world. He called us to this community. We have a responsibility in this neighborhood because we are followers of Jesus, and also that God spoke to me about collaboration. Because if Jesus has set us this example of putting the other's needs first so that God's purposes of salvation can be advanced, and he's given us the command that we should love one another so people will know that we are his disciples, and he's prayed for us that we would be brought to complete unity so that the world would know that God the Father has sent God the Son so that all men can be saved through faith in him, then it's not surprising that God would say to me some 11 years ago, focus on collaboration as you work in this community, work with others. There have been many gifts of collaboration along the way for Brattletown Park Church in these last many years. I've met fantastic pastors, and that's really where it started, was getting to know the pastors that we call the Warden Corridor Pastors. And perhaps most significant for me in those relationships, even though it's now a number of years ago, was the opportunity that I had to know and spend time with Ross Ingram, who had been the pastor of First Alliance Church for many years. And Ross was that senior pastor that I never had in those early years, in the sense that he would get together with me and we had a number of lunch meetings with each other, and he would say, you know what, I mean, you can do it your way, Trevor, but normally I do it this way. And he would just give me a little piece of advice with a lot of humility and just taught me a number of things. But there have been many other godly men and women whom I have met by looking out at the other churches in this neighborhood. And then we entered into a partnership with SIM. Those of you who remember when Peter and Rhonda were here at Brattletown, remember that they brought with them tremendous gifts for ministry. And I was with their supervisor a little bit before they came. Fellow's name is Jim Snell, and he was coordinating their team at the time. And Jim said to me, Trevor, I know that Peter and Rhonda have many gifts for ministry and that they will do tremendous things for God wherever they go. But my question is about Brattletown. Are you guys really committed to reach out in this community? Are you going to follow them as they initiate new things in your church? And I said, oh yes, Jim, I promise we will. And we did. In fact, the Alpha course that will start on the 23rd of July here, I said to Peter and Rhonda last night, because we were together at a wedding, and I said to them, you know, Marianne Nelson and a team are going to start the Alpha course again on the 23rd of July. They said, oh, that's good. I said, you know, she's following in the footsteps that you laid out for her as she does that. And that's very true. because Peter and Rhonda helped us to start the Alpha Ministry. They helped us to start intercultural small groups focused on making sure that people from different ethnic and cultural backgrounds, believers together with those who had not yet believed, would come together in small groups. And that has marked our small group ministry ever since. It was Peter, together with me, that where we started the, remember the Kaleidoscope Talent Night that we did here? Remember Mike North getting his pants pulled down on this stage up here at the end of that one song? This is going back to 2003, I think. And we had an interesting thought there. A parent from the community had come to us, and interesting, because history repeats itself, this woman had said to us, "I'm sending my kid to your summer camp, but your building's not in very good shape. I'd like to raise some money to help you fix up that building of yours." And we said, okay, but we don't want to only raise money for ourselves. Let's find some other community programs that can benefit if we're going to do a fundraiser. And we went over to Brook Mill School, and we sat down with Gord, the principal there, and said to him, as many of you know, we're going to raise some money. Is there anything we could raise money for that would help your school? And Grant, did I call him Gord? Anyway, Grant McPherson said, "Oh, but gee, you know, I thought probably a couple pastors coming into the church would be asking for something different, but you want to raise money for us?" And I said, "Yes, we'd like to raise money for you." And he had to think for a while, and they had a boys' reading program trying to encourage boys to read more. He said, "Well, you could raise money and we could buy some books for that." And then on the week before the Kaleidoscope talent show happened here, Grant took us, Peter and myself, into every grade 5 and 6 classroom at Brook Mill, and there were more than two, there were about four, and introduced us, saying, "This is Pastor Trevor and Pastor Peter from Bridletown Park Church. They're going to be raising money for our school, and they want you kids to come." And we were able to introduce the program. And when I told people about that at the time, they said, "I don't think he's supposed to do that. I don't think principals in TDSB schools are supposed to allow pastors into the classrooms to encourage kids to come to church events." I said, "Well, he did." And ever since, our partnership with Brook Mill has been an outstanding one. Brook Mill distributes flyers and registration forms for the Sunshine Day Camp to every student in their school. We send them an electronic copy. They do all the photocopying. They do all the folding. They deliver them to all the students, and they go home like any letter from the school promoting our program here at Bridletown Park Church. I remember the first time with some fear that Guy and I went over speaking to the leadership, the vice principal at the time, and Grant, about an after-school program that we were going to be starting here as a follow-up to our relationship with Brook Mill School. And we sort of humbly and with some fear said, "Now you understand, we're a Christian church. And if kids come to this thing, we're going to be speaking to them about our faith in Jesus." And we were worried at the time that they would say, we can't do that. You know, we can't promote something that's going to be evangelistic like that. And the vice principal said, "Well, of course, we understand that. No problem, you know." And we began to be able to invite kids to after-school programs at that time, fully disclosing that our intent was not only to love these kids, but also to be very honest about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Partnership brought us all of that. And in more recent days, through our partnership with Toronto City Mission, we've begun after-school programs here, most recently the Music X program. We've also had tutoring, where one-on-one, some 20 students in elementary school are tutored, most of them by volunteers from Bridletown as well as volunteers from other places. Sunshine Day Camp, the after-school drop-in program for youth, the Friday youth program, all of this has come through partnership with SIM to begin with Toronto City Mission, and now as well with Youth Unlimited. Just to sort of extend this a little bit, I know I'm saying a lot. What we're now in a new partnership that will begin to show itself in the fall, a partnership with Tyndale. And we are the first church, not only in Toronto, but in the entire Greater Toronto Area, to host a Tyndale course in our church. And we're doing that beginning in September and through the following year, a certificate in leadership, particularly focused on people who are newer to Canada, although it's appropriate for anyone to enroll, laying a foundation so that those who are sensing that God might call them to influence others to follow Jesus can come and be equipped for that kind of work. That's a partnership. And many, many resources are coming into Bridletown Park Church through that partnership in terms of teachers and, of course, the cost, $150 a course. A typical course at Tyndale is almost $1,000 now, and this one's for $600. So partnership has brought a lot to Bridletown Park Church. Just to let you know that in this last week, I'll read some statistics here. Through our partnership with Toronto City Mission and Youth Unlimited, we began Day Camp 2011. Here are some numbers. We provided meaningful Christian leadership development opportunities to 7 full-time staff this past week. It was their third week of full-time work here, first week of having campers. We began a volunteer program for the summer that has 20 high school students enrolled in it from this community. We're joined by 16 members of a mission team from Toronto Chinese Community Church at Warden and Steeles, and that same team of 16 students will be with us again this coming week. We ministered to just under 60 campers through our 2 camp programs, the larger one for elementary students and the smaller one entering its third season this summer for junior high kids. And we are real partners in this endeavor. We apply for government funding. We administer the payroll. We wholeheartedly offer our facility and allow it to be, you know, desecrated with streamers and banners and all kinds of things. And we have the opportunity to coach and encourage staff on a daily basis. Partnership has also brought new things out of us. Through our partnership with Toronto City Mission, to bring Guy and Nikki into our church and into this community as missionaries, the RP3 Employment Mentoring Program was born. And currently, Ron Allen works with a team of 10, most of whom are from Bridletown Park Church. A new cohort just started this past Wednesday, and yesterday, on Saturday, RP3 hosted a follow-up session for alumni with some 20 attending. In all, 13 cohorts have completed the RP3 program, and close to 200 people have been touched through this ministry, most of whom have found meaningful work and also received a powerful testimony to God's provision in their lives. Partnership has brought us many, many blessings. And there are new steps in partnership that lie before us. In particular, as you know, we're exploring, and again, yesterday morning, we're together with leadership from the Tamil Christian Church of Canada for a meeting, speaking about the possibility, not the certainty, but the possibility for greater partnership in ministry and in this facility with the Tamil Christian Church of Canada. And I think this is the greatest challenge of partnership that we have ever considered. Until now, through partnership with SIM, Toronto City Mission, Youth Unlimited, Tyndale, we can easily list all the things that we have been able to do, all the blessings that have come to our church that wouldn't otherwise have come, all the benefits that we've enjoyed because of partnership. And I know that these days at Bridletown, as we consider partnership with the Tamil Christian Church of Canada, foremost in our minds is not how much we would gain by entering into this partnership. We are thinking much more these days, I think, about how much we can lose. When we speak of partnership with T3C, Tamil Christian Church of Canada, we can become preoccupied with losing control, losing status, losing our exclusive grasp on this building and all that it has come to mean to all of us. And I want to be honest with you, all those costs, all that loss is real. It really would happen. We would lose control. We would lose exclusive grasp on this facility and all that it has come to mean for us. And that's why we've been reminded in these past weeks that God calls us into brokenness and weakness and vulnerability for His good purpose in our lives. I believe that it's important that we consider the value of brokenness and weakness and vulnerability in God's economy, because I know that if we go down this road, and as we go down this road and consider partnership with T3C, particularly in the ownership of this facility, that we will experience the pain of being humbled, of being made vulnerable, and of feeling weak. But we cannot allow these real losses to block our view of the wonderful gifts that God could give us through this partnership. And more importantly, we cannot lose sight of how this partnership with T3C could advance God's mission in this community. Yesterday morning, we were together with some leaders from the Tamil Christian Church, and we were talking about the possibility of partnership. And Vincent Samuel, who's the pastor of the Tamil Christian Church, said, "You know, the primary motivation for us entering into this partnership has to be God's mission in this community." And no one prompted him to say that. I didn't write it for him on a little index card, but he said the primary reason that we have to speak about within our congregations, if we're going to go down this road with all that it will involve in terms of cost and loss and difficulty, is God's mission in this community. That has to be our first question. Will this advance God's mission? Well, in the spring of this year, a young father from T3C named Edward made a step of partnership with us. He started to come out to the Wednesday youth drop-in here. And just to sort of get to know some of the kids, he's a young dad. He's got a senior management position at an accounting firm downtown. His time is limited, but he made a point of coming here and spending a little bit of time with the kids on Wednesday nights. And he's Tamil, and he's a guy. And it was very evident that the older high school students from a Tamil background just went to him. And he made me feel old, and he made me feel a little less relevant than I'd like to be, as all these kids just wanted to talk with Edward. They also thought he was young, and he's not as young as they think he is. But they'd say, "So what year did you graduate high school?" And he'd say, "Oh, you know, a few years ago," because he's been out of high school for a long time. But because of his relationship and natural connection with these kids, culturally and linguistically, new things are beginning to happen. And the Tamil Christian Church of Canada is hosting, either for the second or possibly the third time, the Agape Cup Cricket Tournament. I don't even understand cricket. But these guys are inviting Tamil churches together with them to have a cricket tournament and some fellowship. And Edward thought to himself, why don't we encourage the youth from Lamoureux High School in this community, all of whom are from Hindu backgrounds, to form a team and enroll. And the kids are, they haven't been talking about anything else practically ever since. Every time I see them, "Did you know that we have a team in the cricket tournament with the Agape Cup cricket tournament with the Tamil Christian Church of Canada?" And as we were meeting yesterday morning with the leadership of the Tamil Church, that cricket team was practicing together with Edward, getting ready for the tournament that will come later this summer. Partnership creates doors of opportunity. And as Christians partner together, God opens new doors, and things that never could have happened otherwise start to happen for God's glory. And even one person, one young father, spending probably the total of about 3 hours here with kids, or maybe four, on Wednesday afternoons, and naturally getting to know those kids who were so drawn to him, has begun to form something new for God's glory as they participate in this cricket tournament. Well, I could go on, and here to see, I'll flip some pages here. I had a whole bunch of quotes that I won't read for you. Aren't you glad? Yeah. I'm not going to read you these quotes, but at some point I will, because I was struck this week that in July 1974, when I was 4 years old, Billy Graham, together with other well-known leaders, John Stott is very much associated with this, for those of you who know who John Stott is, convened in Lausanne, Switzerland, the first Lausanne conference. It was billed at the time by Time magazine to be perhaps the most wide-ranging gathering of Christians from some 100 and, let me just see here. Don't get these numbers wrong. Someone will tell you that's not true. Do I have it here? Oh, dear. Maybe not. 170, 160 countries, 2,700 people in Switzerland to talk about mission, God's mission, and the evangelization of the world. And that's been followed up by conferences in Manila, in the Philippines, in the 1980s. And then in 2010, in Cape Town, South Africa, the Lausanne movement reconvened. And every time since 1974 and in the 80s and then again in 2010, when Christians from around the world get together and say, what do we really sense God calling us to do in order to continue with the purpose of God's mission that He has given to us? Every single time, over and over and over again, they say, we need to partner together more. Let me at least read one or two quotes here. Here's from the 1980s in Manila, Philippines. This movement, started by some great Christian leaders, says this: the church is intended by God to be a sign of His kingdom. That is, an indication of what human community looks like when it comes under His rule of righteousness and peace. As with individuals, so with churches, the gospel has to be embodied if it is to be communicated effectively. In other words, our life together should reflect what we're talking about. If we say that God has made it possible through Jesus for people to be united in a vital relationship with Him in Christ and to be united with one another in the body of Christ, then that has to kind of show up in our lives. And people have to be able to look and say, oh yeah, I can see there that what those people talk about is true. Goes on in the quote to say, it is through our love for one another that the invisible God reveals Himself today, especially when our fellowship transcends barriers of race, rank, sex, and age, which divide other communities. God's mission work is essentially tied up with the call and the example of Jesus Christ to put the needs of others first, to humbly enter into unity so that God's purposes can be advanced. In Cape Town, just this past year, the Cape Town commitment says a number of things about unity and partnership. It says this: when we live in unity and work in partnership, we demonstrate the supernatural, countercultural power of the cross that we're going to remember in just a moment here. But when we demonstrate our disunity through failure to partner together, we demean our mission and message and deny the power of the cross. Partnership and mission is not only about efficiency. We wouldn't only consider partnership with the Tamil Christian Church of Canada in order to get the roof fixed or the heating fixed or whatever other list of things. It's a long list. It's not just for efficiency's sake that we as the leaders of Bridletown Park Church are asking you to prayerfully consider partnership with the Tamil Christian Church of Canada. Like Pastor Vincent said yesterday, God's mission in this community must be the primary reason why we would consider this kind of relationship. It's not just about efficiency. The Cape Town commitment says this: it is the strategic and practical outworking of our shared submission to Jesus Christ as Lord. There were two things that were the major themes that people sensed God saying in Cape Town. And the second of those major themes that people heard from God was that we need radical, cross-centered reconciliation leading to unity, to growth in love, as well as growth in faith and hope. And it should be no surprise that when I thought about, you know, does God have a future for Bridletown Park Church, that the answer in 1999-2000 was yes. There's a future because there's a mission in this community. And there's a future because there are so many for you to collaborate with in order to achieve that mission. And I am convinced that that was God's word to me all those years ago, because I've seen it borne out. Even in this past week, as close to 100 people were influenced for Jesus through the ministry here at Bridletown Park Church that could not occur without partnership. I'm convinced that God was calling us to this community and to collaboration, because there's all kinds of evidence. And I believe that He will continue to lead us that way. Now, it doesn't mean that for me, a decision about what to do with the Tamil church opportunity is a foregone conclusion. That's not the case. There are forms of Christian unity or efforts towards Christian unity that have not been glorifying to Jesus. And we cannot presume that every time people come together and form partnerships that it's what God wanted them to do. That's not the case. But we owe it to ourselves, because of the centrality of collaboration and partnership and humility in the gospel, to seriously and prayerfully consider whether God would call us to take this costly step. And as we come to the cross and remember that Jesus gave His body and shed His blood so that we could be reconciled to God, let us not forget that He also died so that we could be reconciled with one another. Not only in this congregation, which is a beautiful picture to me so often of that power of the Spirit of Christ to reconcile and bring people together in unity, but also for the whole church, that we would be unified in this neighborhood, in this nation, and around the world because of the power of what Jesus has done at the cross. This is a profound opportunity. We may reject it for good reasons, but please let's not reject the opportunity to be in unity and partnership with the Tamil Church because it is too humbling or because it is too costly for us as Christians. We remember today the death of our Savior, who gave His life so that we could live in reconciled community as the people of God, and it would dishonor Him if we rejected an opportunity for partnership because it was too costly for us. So I invite you to prayerfully continue and to hold up leaders in Bridletown who were entered into these conversations, and ask that God would grant us His grace so that it would never be because we have too much pride or not willing to pay too great a price, that those things would not be what prevent us from entering into new forms of partnership. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have marked Bridletown for many years now by Your call to this community and Your call to collaboration. We thank You for the many examples of ministry that have been glorifying to the name of Jesus that have happened here because we've been in partnership and because we've collaborated with others. We thank you for the humility of those who have worked with us to join together with our church and serve us and serve the needs of the people in this community as willing servants for your glory. We thank you for the example of Jesus, who shows us the ultimate of what humility and self-sacrifice looks like. We thank you that we have recorded his command that we love one another, and his prayer that we would be united as brothers and sisters in his name, so that the world will know that you have sent him to save us. And as we remember his sacrifice for us today, his body given for us, his blood shed, we are reminded that it was not just for our individual relationships with you that Jesus died, but that he died also to unite people in him, spiritually and in practical relationships of shared purpose. Lord, we need wisdom from you. We are very aware that if we take these steps of partnership with the Tamil Christian Church, they will be costly. And so often, the costs will be in our mind. And so we need wisdom and help from your Holy Spirit. Help us to see if there is something greater on the other side of the cost, something that you would call us to for the glory of Jesus' name. Something that would advance your mission and your purpose in this community. Grant that we would have grace from you so that we would not reject this possibility of partnership because it is too costly or humbling. Thank you that you can work in and through us, and do immeasurably more than we would ask or even imagine. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if we'll be able to have music playing while you come. If we can, that'd be great. If we can't, then we'll remember the death of Jesus a little bit more quietly this morning. But we invite you to come, and as you take the elements with you back to your place, then I'll come and we'll participate together in remembering the death of Jesus.